Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhone, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. If you would like to speak with my guest today or myself, maybe you would have some questions. We're talking about voting today. Or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and it is in effect this Saturday. Is that the 9th?
The 9th, yeah.
9th, okay. That would be November the 9th. Can you believe it's November already, but it's here. Okay, they have free produce market. Time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Remember, it is November the 9th, this Saturday. Location, once again, 582 Lee Street. Please show up with your state ID or your driver's license and be prepared to give your family's members how many are in your household. Okay? Also, we have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And they have an announcement. I hope I have it with me. I may have misplaced it, but if not, I will give it tomorrow. They're having a silent auction in Kenton, Ohio this Saturday also, and that is from 11 until 2 p.m. in Kenton, Ohio. Okay, I have a thought for you today, and it's called enthusiasm. And since we're talking about voting today, hopefully many of you are enthusiastic about taking part in the process. And the thought goes like this. A caged bird has the ability to fly, but is unable to spread its wings and soar. I need to remind myself that being enthusiastic in all situations is like being a free bird reaching great heights. When I experience this inner freedom and appreciate the joy it brings, I will be able to sustain it even when things go wrong. To be enthusiastic is to be free. And now I will turn my attention over to my guest today. We have Tim Combs. I know many of you know him, and it may be your first time hearing of him, some of you. He is our political historian because he really knows his facts about the past and also the present when it comes to politics. He is also a former history teacher for the Marion City School System. He is retired at this time. And how are you today, Tim?
Fine. Great.
Yeah, glad you could come be with us today.
Yes.
Yeah, we have elections tomorrow.
Yeah, election of the day is tomorrow. It's, of course, been ongoing for the last several weeks with the early voting, which ended at this afternoon at 2 o'clock. But
right.
So if you didn't early vote, then you will have to go to the polls tomorrow.
Right.
Between 6:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. at your polling location, wherever that happens to be.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you get to vote up to almost the last minute tomorrow.
Yeah, you can. That's true. Yeah,
okay.
And of course, we do have, for a lot of people, it'll be the first time using the new voting devices. Thus, if you voted back in the May special / primary election,
mm-hmm.
you have to use a new touchscreen system.
Right.
So it's a new system, a little different than the old touchscreen system. So
okay.
For some people, it'll be the first time using it. But it's not complicated, whatever, and there will be people there to give you some guidance if you need in terms of how to go through the process. So it's good. So, yeah.
Wow. And when you're saying it may be some of those first times, the thing that bothers me is why do people think that it's not so important to vote in the primaries?
Well, of course, this past election, this past May, there was only one primary race. That was only because it was in the Fifth Ward Democratic race.
Right.
The other was a special election, which was the countywide issue for Maple. Was only one issue to vote on, which was the Marion Developmental Disabilities issue, which is back on the ballot this November because it failed by just 19 votes back in May.
Wow.
I mean, that's how close it came. If one or two things would have happened, if just 10 people who voted no had voted yes, it would have passed by one vote, and there were like, I think, 250 to 300 people who didn't vote on the issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
If just 20 of them had voted yes on it and didn't vote, it would have passed by one vote. But so now they're having, hopefully, to get through this election tomorrow. So.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but so every vote does count.
Yes,
passed,
it does.
So.
Yes, it does. And you think people will be more enthusiastic.
Yeah, so. I know this election is a little different. It's not obviously a presidential election or election for governor. It is local officials. But
yes.
Actually, I read something just, I think it was yesterday, that probably you're more affected by what happens with local officials than what happens with a president or a governor because, in terms of what streets get paved and those kinds of issues that are affect your daily life. And
right, in so, your backyard, right?
Yeah,
right
yeah.
In your backyard.
Right in your local officials.
Yeah.
So, these are school boards and township trustees and city officials and so forth. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Wow. Okay. And our mayor is up for re-election.
Yes, this is the year in which Marion's mayor is up for election. And as I'm sure everybody knows, there is the three candidates, Mayor Scott Schertzer, who is the incumbent Democratic mayor running for a fourth term as mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And his challengers are Kevin Lawrence, Republican council member, and Sue McGowan running as an independent candidate.
Okay.
And so they will be elected to a four-year term starting January 1. The new term. The other officials being elected are the city auditor position, which is the city's chief fiscal officer, and there the Democratic incumbent Kelly Carr ran for election to another term, being challenged by Councilman Robert Landon, the Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, the positions of law director and president of council are also on the ballot, but law director Mark Russell and city council president Todd Schneider are unopposed for re-election, so of course, they're automatically. Will be reelected.
Right.
And then we have council races in, five of the six wards, there are council contests.
Mm-hmm.
We do elect three council members at large, but the three candidates running for at large, incumbent Democrats Becky Gustin and Josh Daniels, and a Republican newcomer Mike Neff, are the only ones running. So, of course, there are three to be elected and only three running. So, again, they will be automatically elected.
Okay.
And then in the second ward, Councilman Ayers Ratliff, a Democrat, is unopposed for another term. Now, the other five wards do have contests. In the first ward, since Mr. Lennon is the first ward councilman and is vacating that office, we have Kai Mead, the Democratic candidate, and Michael Sad, the Republican candidate, running for that first ward. See, that's northeast corner of the city. North of Center Street.
Okay.
We have the second ward is uncontested. In the third ward, which is out on the west side of the city, Councilman Jason Schauber, the Republican incumbent, is being challenged by Democrat Kevin Lytle. That name sounds familiar to a lot of third ward residents. Kevin Lytle's father, Al Lytle, was a former third ward city councilman, and he is a retired firefighter, ran for that third ward seat. In the fourth ward, we have incumbent Democrat Debbie Blevins being challenged by Republican Joshua Feliciano. In that ward, that's kind of the south central part of the city, Alney Avenue, Windsor Street, Prospect, South Prospect, that area through there. The third ward, of course, is, I say, the west side of the city, David Street, Bennett Street, that area through there. The fifth ward race, we have incumbent Republican Leslie Cunningham being challenged by Democrat Tara Dyer, and that's kind of in the southeast corner of the city, State Street, part of Church Street, through there, Grand Avenue, whatever is that area. And finally, in the sixth ward, we have an open seat. Republican Rick Cuddle is not running for re-election this year.
Not. Okay.
And there we have candidate Bill Mayberry is the Republican candidate for the sixth ward seat. And his opponent is independent Kathy Swanger, a retired school teacher running for that sixth ward seat, and that's an open contest. And then for people in the city of Marion, also in Marion Township, that's the city of Marion is part of Marion Township, and then also Marion Township outside the city.
Okay.
It's my friends where I, me and my wife live.
Okay.
We elected a township trustee this year and what they call the township fiscal officer. Now, one time that office used to be called township clerk, mm-hmm. but the title was changed several years back to fiscal officer to kind of identify more of what that particular office does. And the current trustee in Marion Township, Lori Ballinger, has no opposition okay. for another term. But for fiscal officer, the incumbent Sheila Perrin is being challenged by Eric Kletzman for fiscal officer in Marion Township. And then, of course, in the various townships, there are trustee elections possibly mm-hmm. or fiscal officer elections. Many of the townships and many of the fiscal officers are uncontested, but there are several townships that do have some contests and some fiscal officers being elected. Also, some village officials are being elected, village mayors being elected. Most are uncontested, but there are a few
right.
contests for village mm-hmm. mayors in certain city villages. Same with village council seats. A lot of them are uncontested, but also, I know, for instance, Prospect has six candidates running for two seats, so they've got quite a contest down there. There's a contest for Green Camp Mayor, LaRue Mayor. They have contests for their mayor's offices. And then also, of course, we're also electing members of the Boards of Education. In all the counties and in all the districts, many of them are uncontested. Ridgedale, there is a contest for one seat. I think one of the seats, actually a couple of seats up there.
Mm-hmm.
Marion City is uncontested. River Valley is uncontested. I know Pleasant has a contest for a seat and. There's a contest in Elgin, so several of the school districts do have contests. As I say, the polls open at 6:30 a.m. and open until 7:30 p.m. Remember, you need to take the ID with you, certainly a driver's license. And if you don't have a driver's license or state ID card,
okay.
usually, or maybe a utility bill that has been addressed to you at your residence.
Okay.
So, make you have your ID to go with you.
Okay.
And as I said, then we have the new voting devices that are being used. For a lot of people who didn't vote back in May, this may be their first opportunity to have the new voting device.
That's true.
And, of course, around the state, there are no statewide issues this time. So turnout is probably going to be relatively light because in certain areas of the state, there may be very few issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of school issues on the ballot. There's, Marion County this time, we do have, of course, to say the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities issue,
okay.
which is a countywide issue. As I said, Marion Township Fire District, which is the area of outside the city of Marion, just the part of the township outside the city, putting on that. You've got village issues in various villages, township issues, some other fire issues in areas. So people need to be aware of what those issues are in their respective little areas and voting on those. As I say, no statewide issue to vote on and no statewide candidates to vote on this time. So that is where we're at for, the 2019 local election. And then, of course, obviously, we are already into looking at the 2020 election, the presidential election,
already?
Which, of course, will be a
yes.
presidential election. Let me just say, next March is when we will have our March 2020 primary. The reason, normally it's in May, but because it is a presidential election year, the primary is in March because you have to elect your delegates to the national conventions next summer. And actually, they moved the primary back a week, and I think it had to do with something with the Republican Party's selection process in some fashion. So we're going to have we've been referred to as a St. Patrick's Day primary on March 17th.
Right,
so that will happen in March, and the filing deadline is in, like, I think December 18th for people running to run for those offices.
Okay.
And the next year, the office, of course, obviously voting for president. You'll be voting for county officials. All the county officials except the auditor and one commissioner seat will be up. I'm not sure about the judges. There may be a judge or two be elected locally.
Okay.
I know the statewide, there'll be a couple of state Supreme Court justices elected along with the presidential election. There is no Senate election next year.
Right.
So those both Senators Brown and Portman are in midterm, so they will not be up. Of course, members of Congress are being elected. The House members are being elected.
We just elected them last year, right?
Last year, which is 2018 now, of course.
And they do 2 years?
2 year terms. House members serve 2 year terms, yeah.
Okay. So, and the mayor is 4 years.
The mayor is 4 years. In the city of Marion, the mayor, the auditor, the treasurer, the law director are all 4 year terms.
Okay.
The president of council and the 9 city council members are 2 year terms. And I think I may have said this before. There is the option that city council could put an issue on the ballot to go to 4 year terms for them, because the 9 city council members and the mayor and the council president are the only local officials who serve 2 year terms. Because all of your village officials, be they council members, mayors, village clerks, what they call the Board of Public Affairs, are all 4 year terms. All township trustees are 4 year terms. All township fiscal officers are 4 year terms. All members of Boards of Education are 4 year terms. The only officials, and of course, it's the 4 administrative officials in the city of Marion are 4 year terms. The only 2 year term officials are the 9 Marion City Council members and the council president. That's it. And so, as I say, there is a proposal that could put on the ballot. It's an optional thing to go to a 4 year term for council members. I think that's the way they should move, because I think, you know, some have even said maybe the U.S. Constitution needs to be amended to have House members serve a 4 year term with maybe like half the House up every 2 years. Now, how that would work, I don't know.
Well, they run lifelong, don't
Well, that does seem, because no sooner they get elected than they're having to go out and almost start running money, whatever, and so forth, and getting ready for.
Like
so.
Limit to it,
that was how the original Constitution was written.
Wow.
Of course, U.S. senators serve 6 year terms, so they certainly have a longer time.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, the president and vice president serve 4 year terms.
Right.
So.
Right.
But,
They're almost like immovable. I did want to ask you about one of the contenders to be mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He did not show up for the...
Yeah, Mr. Norris. He did not show up for Mr. Norris, Mr. Landon, Mr. Sad, and there was another one that did not. All 4 of them were Republican candidates, did not show up for the League of Women Voters program. And, you know.
So I guess they have that right.
You have the right to show up, but it makes you wonder if they're not going to show up for a candidate's event, what would they do if they were in office? And
what was on their mind, you know.
So, yeah, but, he may have stated a reason, but, you know, this program had been out there for several weeks. They knew it when the date was going to be and why it had to be that day that they had this conflict, when they certainly could have made some arrangements, but.
Right.
That's what happened.
Because he's been around town to several events, and I was just wanting to hear what was on his mind, you know.
So
a lot of people just make the assumption that everyone in this room is going to vote Democrat, I guess. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I didn't know. It was sort of like, okay, if you're not going to show up, then why should we vote for you, right?
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, everything is okay with him and his family.
I think he's a single gentleman. I don't think he has a family. I don't believe so.
Okay.
So.
All right, then. So we're...
All right, let me move on to other things.
Yes.
And obviously the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the current events going on in Washington.
Oh, yes.
There is no doubt in my mind, I think it's pretty much a 99.99% given that President Trump will be impeached by the House of Representatives come either right before the Thanksgiving break or right after the Thanksgiving break. Now, the way this works is the House of Representatives, which is now, of course, has been conducting these closed-door hearings for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they released some of their testimony from those hearings today, and they're going to release more as the week goes on. They plan to hear some more witnesses this week in closed door, and then apparently, I think, probably by next week, they're going to go to public hearings.
Okay.
And probably about the three or four, maybe the three major witnesses that we'll hear, there was a Bill Taylor, who was a Deputy Secretary of State, Deputy Ambassador or something, with the Ukraine. And when he was thinking about the fact that the money was not going to be aid to the Ukraine, which was in this battle with Russia.
Right.
And it would be held up until, quote, dirt was found on the Bidens, Joe Biden, his son,
mm-hmm.
Hunter Biden,
mm-hmm.
was really concerned about that. And then this Colonel Vanderman, who was an Army officer, was listening on the phone call, but it was made back on July 25th, about the fact that unless Mr. The President of Ukraine gave public thing that there's an investigation of the Bidens, there would be no aid or meeting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that has been a, you know, kind of a, you know, and then also the former woman who was U.S. ambassador to Ukraine who got canned back in April or May, and the fact that she, you know, apparently was not going to go along with this whole little deal. And other information has come out, but those are the major ones. Okay. And, you know, and was called a quid pro quo. Now, this is a Latin legal term, which basically means you do something and you get something in exchange
in
for
return,
it.
Yeah.
And this apparently, as I've been reading the last few days, a number of Republican senators have come to the conclusion that maybe they just admit that, yeah, it was a quid pro quo, that there was not going to be any aid to the Ukraine exchange mm-hmm. for this information on the Bidens, which, you know, has been pretty much shown as was bunk anyhow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and almost you, I call it a kind of a, almost a shakedown mm-hmm. of the Ukrainian government and some concerns that now putting this tape of that phone conversation in a secure computer program that could not be, you know, gotten to as a way to try to cover up this whole process. And that's really what we're looking at as a cover up, you know, sparks days of the old Watergate back in the 70s. And so
what does that mean?
Now, actually, well, here's the thing. The Democrats have what they call the ABCs of impeachment. A, okay. Abuse of power. B, betrayal. And C, corruption.
Okay.
So what will happen is, and I'm going to, on this point, I'm going to have to speculate a little bit.
Okay.
There'll probably be at least two, three, maybe four articles of impeachment. Each one will be voted on separately by the House of Representatives.
Okay.
All it takes is a majority vote of the House to impeach the president. Once that process happens, I'm assuming it's going to happen, once that happens, then the matter moves to the United States Senate for trial. Now, could the trial be in December? It could be, but my guess is it would probably be held over into January, right after Congress comes back for its second
recess.
Session of the Congress. Where the president is the person who's being tried by the Senate, then the Chief Justice of the United States in this case, Chief Justice John Roberts, who apparently is not looking forward to this, would be the preside at the Senate trial. And they will then the House will appoint what they call House managers,
mm-hmm.
and then they will present the House's case against the president at the Senate trial. How long that will go on, a couple weeks, two, three, I don't know, several
right.
weeks probably. Once that process is done, then they move to, and I don't know whether the Senate really debates the matter at that point, but they'll move to a Senate, to the Senate acting as the jury, and you could almost say the House like a grand jury, if you will.
Okay.
And then then it'll come to the vote in the Senate. Assuming all 100 members of the Senate are present and voting, it would take 2/3 of the senators present and voting for conviction. And of course, the only penalty on conviction is the person is removed from office. Then, in this case, there are 100 senators who would require 67 votes to convict. Now, even if all 47 members of the Senate Democratic Caucus were to vote for conviction, at least 20 Republican senators would have to vote for conviction. Some of them are going to face some very strong because of things as this comes out and as the testimony, particularly as the public testimony happens in the next week or 2 weeks or so, is probably going to be very revealing. And is that as the testimony begins being released, this resolution was passed last week,
mm-hmm.
dealing with the procedures for the impeachment. As that testimony begins being released, the private testimony behind closed doors
right.
is going to be, I think, be very, very revealing. Frankly, I think that Mr. Trump is, if he survives this, it'll be only because enough Republican senators voted. They don't think it was an impeachable offense, even though they might have admitted it was a quid pro quo. I don't know. We'll see. But of course, this will be our third presidential impeachment. The first one was Andrew Johnson, 1868, in which he ended up being acquitted by just one vote in the Senate.
Oh.
Of course, Bill Clinton, 1998, and was acquitted, didn't even get close to the 2/3 margin. And then now this one. Now, those first two presidential impeachments.
Nixon wasn't.
Nixon would have been impeached,
okay,
except he resigned his office before
okay.
before the House. Because after the tapes came out,
right.
he publicly said that, yeah, they he had basically been lying all along for a year and so on at Diamond.
Right.
Resigned in August of 1974.
He just gave it up.
So, yeah. So we'll see what happens and as this process unfolds over the next few weeks.
It just baffles me how he can just do stuff, our president. It's
not okay. That's where he's being held at this point, being held accountable. I mean, we are in a constitutional crisis at this point. We're not the only one because Great Britain's having a constitutional crisis over what they call this Brexit about the United Kingdom leaving the European Union and mm-hmm. all those ties being broken up. And they're going to have a general election on December 12th for the House of Commons. Canada just came through an election here a couple weeks ago. In Canada, they kept their current government and Mr. Trudeau as the prime minister. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at and where things will be looking at. So
what did, which I never really got to understanding, what did Joe Biden's son do?
Well, his son Hunter was on the board of what called Bermeza, the natural gas company. He was a board mm-hmm. member. And there's been this thing out from some of the right-wing things that somehow he was involved with corrupt activity. Well, there's been an investigation. Nothing. It was nothing. It was just nothing. But Trump picked up on this, and he picks up on this stuff and without any justification tried to say that there's been nothing.
And why would you call somebody else to check
it out? And some of the things in the last few weeks it has been baffling, some of the comments he's made.
Yeah.
Trying to take this Colonel Vandeman, who was a decorated officer. I mean, he still carries shrapnel in him when he was in, I think, Afghanistan or whatever. And, it's just... these are sort of decisions people are going to have to make about mm-hmm. what they want to have another 4 years of this that we've had these last 3 years. And we're going to have probably another year with this thing.
Because who works in the White House?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people don't want to work in the White House. I mean, this president is going through some, like the Department of Homeland Security, I think they're going to be on their fifth Homeland Security Secretary. I mean, this guy's changed his cabinet secretary like those people change their socks. I'm not sure.
He's gotten away with a lot, though. Yeah. He really has.
And around the country tomorrow, there's going to be some state elections that we'll take a look at. Virginia's mm-hmm. have an election tomorrow. There are big battles over there with the Virginia legislature. It looks as if Democrats are actually going to, last Republican bastion is going to fall in Virginia tomorrow, probably. And then they call their state Senate, what they call the State House of Delegates, which is like our State House of Representatives, probably going to fall to the Democrats, too. You have the Kentucky Governor's Office election, the Mississippi Governor's Office, and then I think this weekend is the Louisiana Governor's election. Louisiana is always kind of march a different drummer when it comes to holding their elections. They're a little different than the rest of the country. And then the mayor's offices in different cities around the country and so forth and so on. So, And sometimes they give you clues what's going to happen the following year and so on. So, that's where we're going. And, of course, we have several congressional special elections we're going to have for Congress over the next few months. Of course, the death of Elijah Cummings out of Maryland, that seat's going to have to be filled in a special election in that district in Maryland. This Congressman Katie Hill, who kind of resigned in a scandal.
He was a young man, too, wasn't he, Elijah?
67 or 68, not all that old. Yeah. He'd had some health issues for several years. And if his widow decides to run for the seat, it would all be over. They might as well, they'll have to have an election, but I mean, she would probably get 85% of the vote. So, yeah.
So is she in politics also?
She's actually chair of the Maryland Democratic Party at this point. So whether she would step down from that to run for the seat, I don't know what they're doing on that.
Right.
So,
right.
But, So those are the issues that are there. As I said, we've got our local elections. That's kind of where we're at on a number of these kinds of issues that are out there. And of course, we've had some things about people want to do the gun thing with after the Dayton shootings here a few months back so forth. And so far, there's been no action there on that.
I didn't expect it to be.
We'll see what happens.
I know a lot of people didn't really expect it to be, even though we feel that something should be done.
Yeah.
It's like a slow, like a snail crawling.
Yeah. And the other thing that didn't happen was there had been the issue to try to repeal House Bill 6. That kind of failed. They did not get the necessary signatures.
Okay.
On the petition, then when the federal court tried to get some additional time, that didn't happen. So that issue will not be on the ballot. And so that issue is now basically the bill is going to go into effect and so on. So.
Well, like you said, tomorrow we vote.
Yeah, yeah. We and as I say, it'll probably be a relatively lighter turnout than normally, but we'll see. Yeah.
True.
But I certainly encourage people to vote, you know, who are eligible. And
I think people so more or less maybe bewildered or just don't know what to do.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, of course, like I say, particularly if you don't live in the city of Marion, you're living out in the in some of the rural areas. If you're in a township where there's no trustee election, a contest election, no fiscal officer election, and if your Board of Education is uncontested, there's no candidates to vote on. The only thing you may be able to vote on is maybe might be only the MCCD issue. Possible, it depends.
But there's so much going on nationwide.
Yeah,
and, don't want to do it. You know, well, why should I go vote? The world is going to hell in a handbasket, right?
So,
like they say, but we still have to exercise our rights to vote.
Yeah, well, and certainly
or should
do that. Yeah.
Or should. Because, like, if this does happen and he does get impeached, and you said there is a process that he could be removed.
Well, if he's convicted in the Senate, if at least 67 senators were to convict him on even just one of the counts of impeachment.
One of the three?
One of the three. I don't know how many would be on the, you know, put together. He would then forfeit the office.
Really?
And at that point, Mr. Pence would have to be sworn in as vice or president. And he'd have to nominate somebody to be the new vice president at that point. So.
And he would run for president next
year. I would assume he would at that point. So, yeah. But it would be, of course, we've never had a president convicted in an impeachment trial. Now we have, of course, Richard Nixon resigned the presidency, which probably because he would have likely been impeached and likely convicted.
Right.
Because, you know, but he resigned the presidency. There's been one gentleman who was actually served for a brief time as director of communications for Mr. Trump, Saramucci or whatever. He thinks that Trump's going to end up resigning, but I don't know about that.
I can't see that, but he might.
Well, who knows? But you know, let's say the evidence is kind of closing in on him, and he's just and this thing of trying to attack the process that doesn't fly because I mean the facts are there. Facts are facts, and it, you know, depends on how you want to whatever.
Right.
So. Let's assume that he gets impeached. The trial happens. He's not convicted. Therefore, he continues. We've never had an incumbent president who was impeached run for re-election, because when Andrew Johnson was impeached, he did not run for re-election.
Okay.
And of course, Bill Clinton was in his second term and couldn't run for re-election.
Right.
So we've never had a president impeached and then running for election. That would be a first in U.S. history. So, yeah,
it could be.
Yeah. Now we've had impeachment trials,
right,
where individuals have been abused. It's been some federal judges that have been convicted, and of course had to give up their judicial office. But so
he would try. I believe he would try to run again.
That would be up to him what he was going to do. So
yeah, I think he would. I just think he's just that bold. No,
well, it's,
he can do no wrong as far as he's concerned, and his supporters too.
There is a group of people now. It's interesting. Polling is showing that actually a slight margin of people do, in fact, want to remove from office.
Oh, really?
And and he's running behind Mr. Biden, Ms. Elizabeth Warren, in polling in different states, and so forth.
I was going to ask you what about their chances of winning the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, I mean, there's really the top three are Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders are the top three.
Still at the top. Okay.
And those others are there. Now there's Mayor Pete Buttigieg, whatever, mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Okay.
Mayor, he's a gay mayor, and but that, you know.
Still in the running, huh?
Yeah. And he is a very impressive gentleman. He's an Army veteran.
Okay.
Some wish he would go back and run for governor of Indiana.
Okay.
And because he would probably be a very strong candidate in that regard. So, but so we'll have to wait and see how all that filters out.
Was that the last Democratic debate?
No, it was. There'll be another one in November, and I'm not. I think it's going to be in Atlanta, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
That was, of course, we had the one down in
this month, November.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is going to be the fourth one, and there's different standards now to be able to be on the debate stage, and how much money you have to have raised, and what poll numbers are showing, and so forth.
Right.
Of course, obviously, Audubon was in university, and Westerville was in the national spotlight here back in October when they had the debate there.
Right.
And so they had an intention there. So.
Okay. But, all right. I know we, the Mayor and Minority Commission, we had Souls to the Polls Sunday
mm-hmm.
from 1 to 3 at the Chamber of Commerce. For those who wanted to early vote, I should have voted then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
what kind of turnout did they have on that?
Huh?
What kind of turnout did they have? Did you?
It was pretty good. I was there, yes,
okay.
for a short time because I had over.
you forgot to go and vote yourself.
Yeah, I didn't even have time to go vote. And I go vote today and it's too late, so now I have to vote tomorrow. But
are you in the city?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had a pretty nice turnout.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Checking signatures, making sure the signatures mm-hmm. match. And what process do they go about comparing your signatures? Like if you were to put your signature for someone who wants to run for office and on their form and they kick names off, what process do they have for that?
There are certain standards, and I'm not totally clear on all the standards, but I mean, generally, if I would think if your signature is very comparable to what your signature was you have on the Board of Elections, that should be sufficient. I mean, we're not talking right analysis here or whatever.
That's
but
what I thought. You know what I'm saying?
I think what would happen is if you had a signature that looked so vastly different than the signature of the person's name on the registration thing, that might create... Great question.
Right, that's called a petition,
but I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking writing ability here or whatever. So
I thought that, and a few of them came up and said that their signature was very, very close to how they signed their name on their driver's license. So they didn't understand why their names were kicked off the petition. That's what that form is called, right? When you're running for office.
Yeah.
And so we were checking signatures and making sure people were updated with the information
mm-hmm.
as far as voting and their rights to vote and trying to encourage younger adults to vote. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't for one, because we are a minority commission,
mm-hmm.
it just wasn't for a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
It's for anybody that's going to vote,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that they would, just so that people have an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our first.
Okay.
That we're looking forward to doing many, especially for the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're doing that in November, the Sunday before. Next fall. We won't do it for the primary.
No.
Because don't enough people vote for that anyway.
Uh-huh.
That's why I was talking to you about that. Why people just, you know, the process, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, now this affects you. And where you live,
mm-hmm.
so why don't more people come out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I say we're out in the city, and so, of course, we can't vote for city candidates, but...
Say 100 here, 100 over there, you know.
Yeah, so...
Let me see what day that is. November. Well, I'm so glad you came, and you graciously inform us and keep us up to date.
Well,
I can say
maybe we come back in the fall, maybe, or in the spring, or whatever. I mean,
oh,
get to
yeah,
vote the primary election and so forth.
It ought to be hot next year for real, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. Because I can say we have a number of county all but two county offices are up next year now.
Wow.
Some of them will likely be uncontested, the coroner, engineer, offices like that, because there's so few people who are actually eligible to run for those offices. But, you know, like county commissioner, there's two commissioners elected, the prosecuting attorney, the sheriff, the treasurer, the recorder, those offices like that. Then I say there may be some judges elected. I'm not sure about that part of it.
Right.
So,
right.
And then statewide, there will be the two Supreme Court seats will be up, plus, of course, then the presidential election.
Right.
That'll be in November of next year then. So.
Right, because at November the 1st, we will be doing Souls to the Polls again, Mirror Minority Commission. Same place, hopefully, the Chamber of Commerce, which is directly across the street
from the county, Board of county Elections. Building, yeah.
Yes, from the county building. And we still want to say get out and vote, exercise your rights, let your voices be heard for your city mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're rearing up. Trying to get ready for 2020. It's going to be a hot year, I believe.
Well, I'm
just
sure it
really
will be.
It's going to be smoking.
So.
Especially this impeachment thing.
Well, I can say, that issue, I mean, as far as the impeachment or his possible conviction, that will likely be resolved by January. But it will still likely be a underlying factor, if, let's assume he's acquitted and doesn't get removed. As I say, it would be a first time if we had an incumbent president running for re-election who had been impeached.
Well, he claims he will run again.
Well, that's fine.
Impeached. I'm not going anywhere.
So, it would be a first, I would say. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
Some people have a lot of nerve. But anyway, don't forget, those of you who are listening, Tim has informed us, doors open at 7 p.m. wherever
6:30 a.m.
6:30 a.m.
And close until 7:30 p.m.
Until 7:30
p.m. So it's 13 hours you have to vote tomorrow.
That's a big time slot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, they have reduced the number of polling locations. You got the Coliseum, which is one location.
True.
You have the church out there on 95, which is a large polling location.
Mm-hmm.
You've got there's one down on Route 4, the one church down there, which is a polling location.
Okay.
I know our they've got away from using schools because of concern of having people in the school, but our son is going to live in Hilliard. And Hilliard and our daughter-in-law teaches in Dublin schools, and the Dublin and Hilliard schools are going to be closed tomorrow because they do use those buildings.
Oh, really?
They do use school buildings down there for polling locations. So just to keep it even, they just put that into their schedule to be closed on election day.
Right.
And so the schools will be closed so they use the school buildings.
I heard Columbus was against that. They'll people using their schools to vote.
Well, and again, I don't know what they do in Columbus if they're not using schools, then whether their schools are open or they've taken they're being closed for the day. Using
that
the
makes
schools.
Sense. Close it for the day.
That's what they do. That way they don't have to worry about. Now, when I was on the Board of Elections, we used the Garfield Elementary School out in the West Side as a polling location, but because it was the new building. And they were able to close off the gym area from the rest of the building, so people could not get into the rest of the building.
Yeah.
So, now, as far as I know, it's no longer being used as a polling location, I don't believe. So, but that was several years back. So,
are they using that for anything anymore?
Not for voting purposes.
Right.
You may be thinking of the old Colonial Acres building.
Yes, that's
that building is now being the new Marion Withrow, kind of like the old
library,
Rushmore Academy kind of thing.
Okay.
It was used for that for a time, I think, and then
it was
used as a maintenance building. Then it was closed, and now it's been rehabbed, and I think they're using it once again for that. So, but the Garfield Elementary is one of the new buildings that was just built a few years back. So.
Supposed to cover voter registration forms too, Tim.
Pardon?
Voter registration forms.
Yes. Well, you can register to vote. I mean, you can win the Board of Elections tomorrow to register to vote, but of course, you wouldn't be able to vote until after tomorrow's election, so forth.
Hopefully, people will take advantage of this time slot and get ready for the primary next year and the presidential election. And educate themselves.
Watch
some of the debates, pay attention to what the candidates are thinking about and what they believe in.
Yeah.
Check your own desires, what you want done for yourself and for your country.
That's right.
A lot of people go on word of mouth. Oh, it sounds
democracy
good,
is not a spectator sport, it is a participatory activity. So.
Participate. You have to participate.
So.
Well, Tim, thank you for coming and sharing with us. We always appreciate your expert advice. You too. And those of you who are listening, thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we will broadcast again tomorrow, same time from 4:15 until 5 p.m. So until next time, be blessed and thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and Governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side, our governor, Governor Kasich, last time I heard, has a 70% approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor. But I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all 23 primaries he's been in, or 22 or whatever it is, caucuses and primaries he's